If you'll open with me in your Bible, or just look on the screen, John chapter 4. John chapter 4. You know, every time the Lord moves you forward, it means your life is getting better. Every time the Lord moves you forward, it means your life is getting better. And no matter how it presents itself, no matter the things that you're dealing with, in God's schedule and in God's agenda, every new year is better than the previous year. Hallelujah. God has made amazing provisions for the new seasons of life that we were privileged to enter into. I mean, to the point where he actually tells us that, yes, I've made provisions for that year. Amen. He actually tells us in his word, when you're about to enter into a new season, a new year, that he's made a provision for it. How much more when that new year is actually also tied into a new decade. I mean, this is an amazing opportunity. This is an open door into something that we've never experienced before. Hallelujah. Amen. This is something new. It's something amazing. It's something glorious. I mean, the Lord speaks about these new seasons and new years. Look in, did I say John chapter 4? Let me move you a little bit. Psalm 65. I don't think we have the NLT translation on our overhead, but I'll read it out to you. Psalm 65 from verse 8. I really love it. It's God speaking about your new year, your next year. Amen. Psalm 65 and from verse 8. I'm going to read all the way down. It says, this is the NLT, so you don't probably have that, so just listen to me. It says, those who live, NLT is New Living Translation, those who live at the ends of the earth stand in awe of your wonders. From where the sun rises to where it sets, you inspire shouts of joy. You take care of the earth and you water it, making it rich and fertile. The river of God has plenty of water. It provides a bountiful harvest of grain. He said, for you have ordered it to be so. Amen. That is, the Lord commanded it to be so. So it's not subject to debate. It's not subject to control. There's no controversy about it. The Lord has already spoken about your next season. Amen. He's already declared concerning your next decade. He said, you take care of the earth. That's verse 8. You take care of the earth and you water it, making it rich and fertile. The river of God has plenty of water. It provides a bountiful harvest of grain, for you have ordered it so. That's verse 9. Then in verse 10, it says, you drench the plowed ground with rain. That is, your dry ground, he drenches with rain. Melting the clods and leveling the ridges. You soften the earth with showers and you bless its abundant crops. Verse 11 says, you crown the year. You crown the year with a bountiful harvest. And even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. Hallelujah. You crown the year with a bountiful harvest. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. I mean, there's absolutely nothing that can be compared to walking in the covenant of God. Nothing. Hallelujah. There's nothing that can be compared to being right in the center of the will of God. And being so positioned in the way that the Lord has ordained for us. You crown the year. That is, even before you have gone into it, God is telling you, I've crowned your year with a bountiful harvest. Amen. Amen. He said, even the hard pathways. I don't know what your own hard pathways are. Your hard pathways may be in the area of your relationships. Your hard pathways may be in the area of your health. Your hard pathways may be in the area of your business. Your hard pathways may be in the area of your career. Your hard pathways may be in ministry. Your hard pathways may be in finances. Whatever your hard pathways are, he says they will overflow with abundance. Why? Remember what we read earlier? He said, because he has ordered it so. And when God speaks, I mean, nobody can question that. And then in verse 12, he says, the grasslands of the wilderness become a lush pasture, and the hillsides blossom with joy. You see how joy works with the harvest here? It's amazing. With abundance, with overflow. Amen. Amen. Can you imagine the possibilities that are ahead of you in this new season? If God goes ahead of you and already addresses the issues of life that you have struggled with, even before you've confronted them in the new year, and God said, because I have ordered it so. Can you imagine the amazing possibilities that exist in your future? I'm just excited about it. Amen. I'm just really excited about it. So the grasslands of the wilderness become a lush pasture, and the hillsides blossom with joy. The meadows, verse 13, are clothed with flocks of sheep, and the valleys are carpeted with grain. Watch this. They all shout and sing for joy. I mean, God has ordered it so that everything about your life has to leap for joy this year. Hallelujah! I mean, like that little baby in the womb of Elizabeth. That baby heard the voice of Mary, and we talked about it on Christmas service. He said that the baby in my womb leaped for joy. God has ordered it so everything in your life will leap for joy in the next season of your life. Everything in your life has to leap for joy. He said, I have ordered it so. Your body will live for joy. Even your husband that never raises a hand, he will live for joy. Hallelujah. Your wife that is quiet will live for joy. Your finances that look like they are dead, they will live for joy. Your relationship that seem hopeless, they will live for joy. Everything about your life will live for joy. Why? Because the Lord has ordered it so. Amen. He said, the Lord has ordered it so. Joel chapter 2. So I'm going to, in just a minute now, I'm going to have you write, what do you expect in this new year? I mean, the Lord can promise, the Lord can walk, but remember, it takes an agreement. It takes us working together. Remember, he says in the book of Job, he said, and you will decree a thing, and it will be established unto you. So, the Lord is waiting to bring to pass whatever you and I declare. We can't just leave it all to the Lord. You know, I mean, year after year, I see people kind of trapped by this, this challenge. They feel like, well, you know, if, Pastor, you know, I think if the Lord ordains, if the Lord plans it, and if the Lord goes out of his way to make it a good year, then I know it will be a good year. Well, the Lord is telling you now, he has already ordered it. Right? He said, I have already ordered it to be so. So then the question is, what are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? Hallelujah. I'm looking for the book of Joel. Somebody please help me. Just tell me where, after Daniel, it's Hosea. After Hosea, it should be Joel, right? I think, and Amos, right? I think, but somehow or the other, I don't know what's going on. I think I'm just too excited about this new decade that's coming up. And that's what's going on. Amen. In Joel chapter 2 and verse 23, he says, be glad then, you children of Zion. Why? Because of what we read, part of what we read in as part of God's plan for our new season. What I want you to do in just a minute now is I'm going to have you write down, so what are you expecting? What are you going to, you know, it's amazing, it struck me. This, we're entering into a new decade, another stretch of 10 years. Only God knows all the changes that will happen in the next 10 years. Only God knows. I mean, some people are going to transition and go to heaven. Much as we don't want to talk about things like that, that's the truth. Over the course of the next decade, some people are going to leave here and going to go over to heaven. Many people will be here, but their lives may be totally different by the end of this next decade. Amen. Some people will get married, who right now don't look like they are even thinking about marriage. They get married in this decade. Some people are going to have kids, and their kids will be like that. I mean, I look at some of the children that I dedicated in our ministry all over the country and some of them in different parts of the world. It's amazing to me. When I stand next to many of them now, I'm almost going like that. Like, and I have to remind myself, I dedicated this child like almost 20 years ago. I mean, he's a man now. And I even have to be careful how I talk to them, you know. But every now and then, I have to kind of bring it out and say, hey, by the way, I dedicated you almost 20 years ago. Just so that they can give me my space, you know. Can give me my space. You know, because, you know, they kind of tower above us, you know. I mean, some people are going to have children that will get that big. And right now, they are not pregnant. Do you know that's true? In the next decade, some people's lives will be completely turned around. Some people will get into new careers that right now they don't even know those possibilities exist. Some people are going to start things that right now it doesn't look like they even know how to start anything. But over the next 10 years, they would have started things and they'll be looking back at those things that they started and everybody will be going, ah, wow, wow, God did that through you. And they'll be going, yes, yes. But right now it doesn't look like that. Do you know how many things can happen over the next decade? So, you know, a lot of times people go, well, Pastor, you know, if the Lord wants to do it, I know he'll do it. But I'm telling you right now, that is not the way it works. And over the years, what I've seen is that those who lay hold on the future, those who enter into the better things that God has for them in the future, are those who actually prepare to do that. How do you prepare to do that? On a night like this, you know, let it be a night of resolution for you. Like a night when you speak into your heart and you draw out things from within your heart and you put it down and begin to paint a picture of a vision. People say, you know, 2020, that's vision. Yeah, that's true. But you can't just call it that without doing something about it. Amen. That's why even this bountiful harvest the Lord says is going to give the children of Israel, you know, he said to them, lift up your eyes. John 4:35. Please put that up. Sorry. Forget about Joel. We don't have time to look at it now. John 4:35. And it's even sweeter in the, let's look at the King James first and then let's look at the message. It says, do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. Now, notice though, he promised harvest in Psalm 65. I've prepared, I've ordered it, I've declared it, I've prepared, I've done everything I need to do. But now he says, lift up your eyes. So you're lifting up your eyes has a direct correlation with how much of God's harvest you can enter into. Your vision can determine your future. That's why it's very important to be very aggressive about putting down your vision and what you expect. Look at the message. Look at what the message says in that scripture. As you look around right now, wouldn't you say that in about 4 months it will be time to harvest? Right? Well, I'm telling you to open your eyes and take a good look at what's right in front of you. These Samaritan fields are ripe. It's harvest time. I'm telling you to open your eyes. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you to open your eyes. So what you do with vision directly affects what you are able. And I'm telling you, this is the word of God. That's the truth of the word of God. And I know a lot of people have already experienced that. They will tell you exactly the same thing. And I know what someone said to me one time. Said, but Pastor, I write it every year, but I haven't seen it. Yeah. The more reason why you should write it again this year. Do you remember what happened with Lazarus? How many people remember the story of Lazarus? When Lazarus was sick and they sent a message to Jesus and they said, this Lazarus that you love, he's sick. And then the Bible tells us Jesus actually went in a totally different direction and went and did other things. And then while he was gone, while he was doing his thing, Lazarus died. And then Jesus showed up after 4 days. 4 days Lazarus had been dead. And when his sisters met Jesus, they said, he's dead, he's dead, he's over. It's like, well, if you had been here, one of them said, if you had only been here. Like, if you had only been here. And then one of them said, well, and now that you are here, I mean, now that you are here, you can still do something. Yeah. Hallelujah. Don't you love that? I wish you had done it in 2017. I wish you had done it in 2018, 2016, 2015, 2019. Well, I didn't see it. But now that you are here, I'm bringing it back to you again, Lord. And I'm expecting you to do this in 2020. Remember 2020? That's we're entering into this big time now. This is big time, Lord. It's big time, Lord. My expectation is all the way up there. Even now, Lord, you can still do something about this. You can still do something about this. So just for a minute, just forget about 2019. That's why usually when we start our watch night services, we start out thanking God. We do not take it for granted. What an amazing blessing of God to be here on the 31st when the year is wrapping up. We were here on January 1st. December 31st. What a blessing. We don't take that for granted. But you know what? That year is kind of wrapping up now. And right on the horizon is this new open door that the Lord has given to us. 2020. It's knocking. It's knocking. And the Lord is asking you, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to bring to me? What are you going to... Stop talking about 2019 and 2018 and 2015 and 2014 and you know, forget that. What do you want in 2020? So I'm going to have you write your vision. Just list it. Don't say, well, I've written it everywhere. Write it again. If it has already happened, then take it off that list. You don't need to write it. But if it hasn't happened yet, write it again. Be like the sisters of Lazarus. I wish it happened 3 days ago or 4 days ago. But that's when my brother died. Well, but even now you are here, Jesus, you can still do something about it. Amen. Amen. And the Lord said, yeah, I want to do something about it. Amen. I want to do something about it. You remember when the Lord said to Abraham to lift up his eyes. Let me just say this real quickly and then we'll start writing because then we're gonna start praying shortly. In Genesis, I think it's chapter 13. This is very amazing to me. Genesis chapter 13, in verse 14, the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes Well, if that was not important, why was the Lord telling him to do that? If it's entirely up to God, what happens to you and to me? Why does he tell us to do certain things that sometimes don't even make sense to us? So lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are. And he says to him, look northward and look southward and look eastward and look westward. That tells me that God is only limited by how far you can see. That tells me God is only limited by how far you and I can see. You know, how big the vessel that you bring to the Lord is, how big that vessel is, determines ultimately how much God can pour into it. If you bring him a little cup, well, he'll fill your cup. He wants to fill it to overflowing, because that's what he said in that scripture. Remember, he said it will overflow, even the hard places. So even your hard pathways will overflow. But how much, I mean, that after he overflows, then what? All you have to use there is just that cup. How about we bring him a huge vessel? Amen. Amen. How about we bring him this huge, huge vessel so that he can fill that to overflowing, and you can get so many cups out of that, and you can be a blessing to your family. You can be a blessing to so many other families. You can be a blessing to all the people around the world, even people that you've never seen and you've never met. That's why the Lord said to him, lift up your eyes, because what God really wants to do with many of us a lot of times is way beyond where we are, what we are familiar with. You know, our comfort zone can be very deceptive in terms of the stretch to your destiny. But God wants to do so much more than what you and I have experienced so far. So he said to him, lift up your eyes. And then he says, for all the land that you see, I'll give to you and to your seed. And I'll make you, and then God goes, and I don't want to talk too much about it. But there are three major harvests that the Bible talks about, that we know in scriptures, three major harvests in scripture. Number one is the harvest of souls and miracles. Usually, most of the time, when the Lord talks about harvests, a lot of times, especially in the spiritual sense, is when the Bible calls him the Lord of the harvest, he's talking in terms of harvests of souls and miracles. It's a lot of times miracles bring souls. So a lot of times they work hand in hand. When the Lord does something in your life and in my life, he wants it to be a sign to someone. And he wants that person to be drawn to him. That's a harvest. Hallelujah. So there's a harvest of souls and miracles. And then there's a harvest of wealth and material blessings. You see that all through scriptures. Wealth and financial blessings. Or material blessings. And then there is the harvest of rewards. There's a harvest of rewards. You know that scripture where it says, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he. He said, God is not more whatsoever. That's a harvest of rewards. Now, in this particular scripture here, actually, Abraham, when you look at the whole, just everything, the overall picture of his life, he was, the Lord was saying to him, you now qualify for all those harvests, but I need you to lift up your eyes and take a look. Now, if you don't believe me, you don't believe what I'm saying, now this is Genesis 13, and just flip over to Genesis 15, and what did God say to Abraham in Genesis 15 verse 1? After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am your what? Your shield and your exceeding great reward. I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. So, you know, God said, I'm going to bless. It's through you, I'm going to bless you, and then I'm going to bless all the nations of the earth. That's souls and miracles. Then he says, I'm going to bless you, and we called him Jehovah Jireh at one point in time. I'm going to bless you so much, your seed will occupy the land, all of that. That's wealth and financial blessings, material blessings. And then here he's talking about reward. I'm your exceeding great reward, the Lord says. You qualify for harvest of rewards.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And I don't know about you, if you have ever sown into the kingdom of God, this should be music to your ears. If you've ever sown a seed, if you've ever labored in the kingdom of God, if you've ever sacrificed to help the work of the kingdom of God move forward, God is saying to you, I am your exceeding great reward. That is, you qualify for a harvest of rewards in your future. All of these seeds that you've sown over the years, sometimes you even had a major project that you needed to do in your family, and then you heard, oh well, you know, there's this group of people, this missionary somewhere, or this work that is going, that can be a blessing to somebody that may not have the opportunity to have this resource. You take that thing that you were planning to use for something in your family that was really important to you, you take it and you send it there. Now, this is music to your ears. It should be music to your ears if you have sown those kind of seeds. Now, if you haven't, this means nothing. If you always eat your seed, and no matter what project, sacrificial offering, you never register. God is not saying to you today, I'm your exceeding reward. What he's saying to you is, you need to put seed in the ground. That's what he's saying to you. But if you have sown seeds, like many of you have, over the years, you've helped a poor person. You've helped a disadvantaged person. You went and you bought clothes for a child who didn't have clothes. You gave a gift to a servant of God. You gave a gift even to an unbeliever. The Bible says he who gives to the Lord, to the poor, lends to the Lord and the Lord will repay him. Well, the Lord is saying to you, you qualify for a harvest of... Somebody said to me, I qualify for a harvest of reward. Come on, say that with me strong. Say, I qualify for a harvest of rewards. Man, when I hear that and God says to me, map it out. Give me the vessel to pour the harvest of rewards in. Boy, I just want to find the biggest vessel. I want to give... You think I want to get a cup like that when he says... I'm your exceeding great reward? No. I want to find the biggest vessel I can find. I even remember, I said, Lord, remember this one, and remember that one, remember that one, and even this person that I used to know like 35 years ago that I haven't talked to them, but please remember. And my enemies too. I don't have any enemies, but I'm just, you know, I'm trying to stretch your imagination here. So give God your biggest vessel. All right. Are you ready to write your vision? So we're about 15 minutes to midnight. So I'm going to ask you to grab a piece of paper or your note if you came with your note. And just expand your imagination here. Just what can you see? What can you imagine? Put something down. Let that be like a contract between you and the Lord, an agreement that the Lord will honor and that you will honor. Put it before him like you absolutely believe he has the power, he has the wherewithal, and he's not limited in any way. Put it before him. Don't say, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to kind of, I want to make it easy for God. God doesn't need you to make it easy for him. Put it down. Put it big, big. Hallelujah. He even said to them one time, he said, stretch, stretch. That's what he said to them. He said, think big in Isaiah. Think big. You know, sometimes we bring our things before the Lord and the Lord will say, why are you thinking so small? Expand your coast. Enlarge your coast. One of my all-time favorite scriptures. Matthew chapter 21. Verse 21 and 22. Matthew 21, 21, 22. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and you doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done unto the fig tree, but also if you will say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it will be done. He said it will be done. Verse 22, and all things, notice, all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. All things. He didn't say many things. He didn't say things that seem to make sense. No, he said, and all things. All things. I mean, how much more blank can this check be? All things. whatsoever, you shall ask in prayer, all things, whether they are big things or they are little things, all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Lord, this health situation, I need you, Lord, to perfect my healing. All things. Lord, this job, this career that's been stagnant for the last 5 years, I need you to push me forward. I need you to open new doors to me. All things. Lord, this my child that doesn't seem to be at par, doesn't seem to be where he ought to be at this stage of his life. Lord, I need you to intervene in his life. All things. All things. He didn't give conditions. He didn't say, well, you can talk to me about healing or body issues, but don't talk to me about money. Don't talk to me about your family. No. All things. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to please stand to your feet and let's just begin to pray. Let's begin to thank God for 2020. Let's begin to thank God for his good plans for our lives. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They are thoughts of good, not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. Hallelujah. The Lord says, I know the thoughts. He has good thoughts in mind. He has good thoughts in mind. God has good plans for you. He said, I have plans to do you good, plans to give you a future and a hope. Hallelujah. To bring you to your expected end. Amen, amen.